Penny.
I'm ready.
Book smash.
But Arbiter friend.
Am I not the captain of this ship?
You're a wizard, Harry.
Shadow Clone Jutsu!
Missed you, missed
it. And the Billboard Music Award goes to...
BTS!
Winter is coming.
Well, hello, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
Bye-bye!
Hello, 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 and welcome to Let's Talk Fandoms, a podcast where we talk about all things fandom. And today, I have a guest who is genuinely one of the nicest and like open-minded people I've ever met. I got the opportunity to work with him in college, which was so much fun, and the ability to kind of continue that friendship and see where he has come just from college has been so much fun. So I would like to introduce to the podcast, Andre Glenn.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you for allowing me to be here. I definitely appreciate that, Tazita. Thank you.
I am so happy, so excited that you wanted and were so willing to want to talk to me on my podcast. And I'm really excited about our topic.
Yes, it is an honor to be here. And I'm just ready for the topic, just ready to have fun and just to vibe out. So I'm all for it.
How would you define the term fandom?
Ooh, so fandom, well, actually, fun fact, fan is in fandom. So if I were to describe it, I would say it's in more of a extreme terms of a fan. So you take fan as a general fan of anything, which is typical for anyone to be a fan of something. When you put fandom, that means that you are a part of a club, you're just solely dedicated to whatever it is you're interested in, and you go all in with the merchandise, with sharing it all over the place, defending it, you know. You just take a fan to a whole another level, and you just like, it's as if you're on the same team, pretty much. You're just repping the team, pretty much.
I love
that. That's how I describe it.
I think that is so fun. I think that's so true to be a fan, but then the dumb aspect of it really kind of incorporates a community and like a kingdom aspect of just all being there together.
Mm-hmm. So
I really agree with that.
Like a team.
Now, do you remember how we met?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know like we were like cool and like talking obviously when we were working together, like with the orientations and things like that. But I think like it was a combination of that, and then when you were telling me about Fandom Society, and then that's when I decided to join the club and just be a part of it. And I think it was just a combination. It's mostly comes from just us, like, you know, working together, having the adventures,
all
the good stuff with the artists coming in here, just the late nights. It was all fun. So we had a lot of stories, a lot of funny like times, and then sad times when we had to leave, you know. So
yeah, oh, when people graduated.
Mm-hmm. And then people like, you know, Perry had to still there, you know.
Still there, and we need them. Oh.
Exactly.
What were your first interactions with fandoms or the fandom community?
Let's see. Well, before I knew the term and knew what it was called, I would definitely say, like, I guess, like a top show I would watch when I was like younger, like a kid, was probably the typical Dragon Ball Z series type of thing. It was like a combination of that and then a lot of Adult Swim shows, like Robot Chicken. Because I remember the day that it first came on TV, and I was young, so like my mom was like, we had to go to bed at 10 o'clock. Well, yeah, we would turn the TV on and like and still watch it. So like I remember that was the first moment I recall when I was dedicated to watching something, no matter what time it was. But definitely Dragon Ball Z is one of those things. I think that, and then wrestling. Wrestling was like another one that I would always watch. I think back then I didn't know that it was fake. I thought everything was real,
right,
like everyone else did.
Yeah.
And like, I thought Dragon Ball Z, I thought everyone watched that, and it was like the greatest show of all time. But I think that was, thinking back, those are the first two that I recall, like me watching or being a part of or just witnessing, or just those, and then watching it all the way until now. Like every once in a while, I would still watch like wrestling just because I grew up on it.
Yeah.
And in terms of Dragon Ball Z, I mean, I have my opinions on it nowadays, but I still watch it. I will still look at it from time to time. You know, that's just that dedication, you know, that I have for it.
Okay.
So definitely those two, definitely I recall those early on in my childhood was watching and being a part of.
Nice. So what are some fandoms that you would say you're a part of currently or like have been recently?
Well, I don't think too many people talk about this, or maybe they are, and maybe I'm just not listening to the right people or watching the right people or around the right people. But you know how people love to play video games, right?
Yes.
And people love to watch YouTube videos, right?
Yes.
So I do a combination of watching people play video games on YouTube. It's weird.
Okay.
It can be weird depending on like what's your personal taste. So like if it's a video game that you enjoy to watch or joy to play that you would love to play pretty much. Like Spider-Man, for instance. Let's say Spider-Man would be like a game to play.
Right.
And for me, I can play the game myself and then spend like hours and hours and hours playing it. And then I know sometimes it'll be fun, sometimes it'll be annoying and stuff like that. But I found out that when you watch certain YouTubers, like it's not every YouTuber, but it's certain YouTubers who make it more than just them playing the video game. Like they make it exciting. They make it like it's an actual show, and they add things that make it funny and things that just make it like just like watch. I don't know. It's just like stuff like that. But it's not every game. It's certain games and it's the right YouTuber.
Interesting.
Like, you just have to try it one day. Like, I used to play Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
But just like pretty much a lot of people have. And then as of recently, they made a new one, which is the fourth one. And they remade the other ones. And it was a certain YouTuber who decided to play through it all. And this is a YouTuber you just probably wouldn't expect to be like, have like, get mad about a certain level and stuff like that. But when he's mad... But when he has that rage, it's like, it's the funniest thing. And then he decided to take a compilation of all the times he was raging in the game and put it into a video. And that's one of the funniest videos I could probably.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why I say that's something that I don't see too many people kind of like talk about. But it's something that's like, I think it's like really creative and cool and like just entertaining all at the same time. Is just watching reactions on YouTube.
Who is that YouTuber?
So I have a couple. It just depends on the type
the mood.
Of video games. The mood and the type of video game. So like I said, if I was watching the Crash Bandicoot, it would be the guy named T Martin. Yes, T Martin. He's a guy, he plays like a bunch of like adventurous games. Sometimes like racing games, stuff like that, but like Crash Bandicoot is a top one that I go to when he's playing it. If it's like sports, I go to a guy named Cash Nasty,
I know that one.
Yeah, so he plays the video games. He also reacts to other YouTubers playing each other in actual basketball. So like he reacts to other stuff, and it just aspect of it is just so cool. And then if I wanted to watch, like if I was serious and actually wanted to watch a playthrough of a sports game or an actual game, I would watch someone like, what is his name? Chris Smooth.
Okay.
He's a top guy for like, I guess Madden and NBA. Cause like, he's like the GOAT of like playing it on YouTube on YouTube type of thing. So like, if I wanted to just watch the playthrough without really laughing or really just like doing anything else, I would watch something like that. If I wanted to laugh and wanted to like be excited, I would watch like the Cash Nasty stuff and the Tim Martin, depending on which one. There's a couple other ones, but those are the top ones that are consistent and like. Oh, and then there's one other guy who's dedicated to Dragon Ball Z games.
Oh.
What's his? Hold on. His name is it C React? No, yeah, C React, I think.
Okay.
So he's like a big fan of Dragon Ball Z stuff, and it's so funny because he's a good player, and he calls out other players for how they play. It's the funniest thing ever. So that's just my fandom, like, currently. Like, I don't need to play the game myself. I would just go and, like, watch the reactions of it and just, like, be satisfied that way.
I will say, in college, I stumbled across, I'm a big, big South Park fan. I find it to be very funny. I love, like, the cringy, raunchy aspect of it, but I also love how, like, almost politically correct it is, in the sense of just, like, they don't care, like, this is what's happening in the world. So I really appreciate it for that. Also, I just think that the art style and the characters are just so good. Mm-hmm. But years ago in college, I think like freshman, sophomore year, I stumbled across this YouTuber named Zach Scott Games. And it's his entire first time playing one of the, it's like the second South Park game. Mm-hmm. And it's called South Park and the Fractured Butthole.
Yeah, I remember that.
The game is so good, and it's a computer game. It could also be played on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. It's so funny, and, like, just, I could sit for hours and watch him move around his little character and play, mm-hmm. and I think it's because of the way that he reacts and interacts.
Exactly.
And it's just, but, like, I love playing 007. I love first-person shooter games. I think are great. I really love Portal. I think it's amazing. Payday is really fun. Fallout is great. But I don't think I could sit down and watch people playing those games. Mm-hmm. And yet I can do it with this South Park game. And I've never played it. I don't know why.
It's just certain. It just depends on the game. Yeah. Like I said, it depends on the game and the people who are playing the game. That's...
Yeah,
be the right combination.
Yeah. I will say, I do think that, like, reaction-esque videos have become exceptionally popular in the last few years. There is a YouTuber named Dylan Is In Trouble, and it's hilarious. He is so funny, and it's just him in his room, and he reacts to movies. And it's very, like, popular movies, very obscure movies. And he is, and, you know, I say this in the most polite way, I have a lot of respect for him, but he is the whitest male ever. Like, ever. He moved from Wisconsin to Arizona, and I'm like, bitch, please, come on. Come on. But his reactions are just so funny, and I think it's because he's just so genuine and, like, doesn't care. And I think that people really respond when people watch reaction videos. I mean, there are YouTube channels dedicated to reacting to pop culture, reacting to, like, past nostalgia. Mm. And I think it's great.
Like I said, it's for me, it definitely kills time. And like I said, to me, it can sometimes feel like I'm watching a movie. Like I said, yeah. It just depends on what exactly, like, the game is. Like, if it's Nitro, like, if it's a God of War type of game, then it's like, it's going to feel like a movie. It's like, sometimes you don't see them on the screen, you just see them playing the game.
Exactly.
And so that's why I like stuff like that. It's really cool.
I will definitely say they can be a lot of fun to just, like, have in the background while doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think is nice. What were your first interactions, inclinations, and thoughts of music as a whole?
Maybe, like, middle schoolish, going into, like, ninth grade, around that time frame, I would say, is when music became, like, that thing where it's like, I have to listen to music, like, all day, every day. Like, when MP3 players were, like, still, like, the big thing, like, and, like, YouTube was, like, big for music.
Yeah.
Like, those days, like, early 2000s, was definitely the time where it's, like, Kid Cudi was definitely on my playlist. Had rock bands like Muse. What else? I had like some other weird music, but I know definitely it was like Pandora. When I had Pandora, like it was like a Kid Cudi soundtrack or a playlist, and then it was like Muse. And it's like for some reason, when I would play Muse, they would play some Kid Cudi, and then when I played Kid Cudi, it would play Muse. So I was like, I thought that was interesting, but it was like I just was drawn to it. I was drawn to it, and so like I didn't really have a phone around that time, so I had a laptop or a tablet, I think, at the time. And I would just have my own playlist on YouTube. So it was like music was just that thing. It was like if I'm in my room playing the PlayStation or whatever, I had like music playing all day long. And then where it started, or the idea of making music, was I had a friend who was like, you know what? You listen to music a lot.
I love the idea of just being like, you do this thing a lot, maybe just do it.
She was like, why don't you make a song? And I was like, you're crazy. Why would I make a song? That don't make sense. But then she really was like egging me on to do it, and then I think I spent like a whole day, ironically, I took a whole day going into the nighttime. I was on YouTube. I was like, okay, I guess I should find like a instrumental. I never really paid attention to instrumentals at the time.
Right.
But I found one of Kid Cudi, obviously.
Obviously.
And I was like, okay, I got a track. I like this track. It's one of my favorite tracks. So then I had a notepad, and then I just wrote like a paragraph. That's how long it took. It was a paragraph, but it took me like all day to write the paragraph.
That's okay.
So
it
then,
took people months. And you're out here like, it took me a whole fucking day. I'm like, what?
I mean, yeah. So then like after I write it, I was like, okay, so how am I going to like record it? So now I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my laptop, sit on this chair. I'm going to sit on my bed. Oh. And I'm going to have another chair, and I have like a tablet that's recording me as I have my notepad on the laptop, and I had the instrumental playing. I play everything all together, and then I start like rapping on there.
Oh.
And like, and then I sent it to, or uploaded to Facebook, and I was like, okay, here we go. Uploaded it. A lot of people were like shocked. It was like, wait, this is a song.
Oh my god, now, I love it.
Now the good thing out of this is that I didn't get anyone who commented and said this is trash or why are you doing it? Like I didn't That's get any good. Negativity, which was like good, because I had a I think it was like a cousin that I just like connected with from like when I went to my family reunion. He was like, someone was saying like, oh, your cousin, like he loves like the music. And I was like,
oh,
really? So that's when I discovered that I had a fan off of like one or two things. Then I was like, okay, so now maybe I should do it again.
Maybe let's do some more.
Exactly. So then I took like a cypher instrumental, because I thought cyphers were so cool. Like a cypher instrumental. Did the same process, took like another day or so to write it. I think this one is a little bit longer than the first one.
Okay.
So then I do it, and then again I'm getting people like saying, oh, this is like so cool and stuff like that. And then after that second video, I think somewhere, I could be wrong, I either have the two recordings on a flash drive, or I have it like on a YouTube page that hasn't been taken out yet. The YouTube page probably not, but I think I definitely have it on a flash drive somewhere.
If you find it, will you send them to me?
I'll send it, because I had like thick glasses on. I had like just like the short haircut. I was just like this. It was a fun time. But after I started the two songs, whatever, then I was like, okay, let's see if I can go a step further and figure out how I can, I guess, make it sound better, or actually just make it to a song.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was an app. It was an app that was called The Booth, and it was only on, it wasn't a thing you can have on your own laptop. It was strictly just a mobile app.
Oh, interesting.
So then it was like, the way it works was that there was already instrumentals on there that people uploaded, and you can take that, and then you can, on the app, you can write on a notepad on the app and then record it simultaneously on the app, like as you're reading off from the notepad.
Oh, interesting.
Now, you don't get like a lot of like leeway to edit anything. It's just more so like you got to be in a good place in a good time.
Yeah.
Hope that no one calls you while you're writing or while you're recording because you will lose your notepad. That happened most of the times. So that happened. That was the journey. And then like from that point, like the quality was like, okay, it was like, it wasn't that great. But then it was like, I would go like all night. Like I would like stay up all night in a shed just recording stuff. Random instrumentals, like that wasn't long. It was just like super short freestyles, whatever. And from there, I just started progressing from tablets to laptops, and then now I have my own setup and stuff. So it took years for that stuff.
Wow, that's really cool. I know you mentioned Kendrick Lamar and Muse, but did you have any other music that you were looking at as like influences or even like art styles that you felt you were influenced by or even like experiences throughout your life that you were pulling from as like inspiration for some of your music early on?
I would definitely say 100% of the music, like when I first started, and probably, I guess, well, not more so now, but like when I first started, was definitely from my own experiences. I will say that, I think so. Like he had like a Kendrick, for instance. Like I think one of his albums, he was like a story type of album. So like obviously some of that stuff wasn't his necessary, I guess, what he was going through, whatever. But it was a story that he was around and things like that. And so I just took that idea, and so I just made it. Whenever I make a song, it was like that was my way to like have like an outlet, basically. Because I was at that time where like the middle child syndrome, I believe that. So it was like one of those things was like, oh, well, I think maybe I can just like talk about things in my music and then that would help me type of thing. So it was like a lot of, that's why I was writing so much, you know, when I first started. It was like throughout the day, I would like kind of like sleep, wake up, not playing video games. I would just like just write something. And then at night, that's when I would record it when everyone is like asleep, so no one would distract me while I'm recording. It was literally a combination of that. And it was like whenever I just felt, I think whenever I felt like down, whenever I felt or excited, or just when I hear like other artists, it doesn't matter what artist it was at that point. It was like if I heard like a song that was like, that sounded good, I was like, you know what? I want to see if I can find that instrumental. And then when I find an instrumental, you know, listen to it. And I just think about what I can write about. And it's obviously something that that's reflecting off of what I'm around, you know, things like that. So I definitely started off like just like talking about like in the story perspective. But obviously I wasn't, my lyrics wasn't like on point or it didn't really mix. It wasn't all together. It was just a bunch of words. It was like a bunch of words. So it was like I knew what I was talking about. I knew what I was going for. But you would never catch me like saying someone's actual name or actually saying exactly what happened and stuff like that. I'm just like paraphrasing.
Yep.
That's literally how that happened. And like, I would say like, that's why I got like the Kendrick influence. The Kid Cudi is like similar, more so his upbringings more so than his music. Cause like I heard like one time he, like how he was writing was like in the dark, I think when he was like in New York. And I was like, that's deep.
Yeah.
Because like for someone to like just to write in a certain environment where like that, where you just like you don't see anything, I don't see how you can be motivated to like write.
But yeah,
if you listen to his music, it was like a lot of music was kind of like in a depressing
dark
realm.
Yeah.
Dark, you know, but it was like somehow he made it like an outlet for other people. Because when I heard it, I was like, this is like, I can listen to this when I'm feeling this way or I'm feeling like something.
Yes.
So it was like relatable. So that's why I just, anytime I was listening to it, I was trying to see how I can incorporate that into my music. It didn't always, you know, sound similar, but it was like the idea of it was coming from them. And then like other artists, like I said, other artists that didn't really have that effect. It was more so if I liked a certain song that artist had put out, I was going to try to like make instrumental from it or just you know, go in that direction. So those were the two. And then Muse kind of came in to play where like I started to experiment on like rapping on rock beats, you know, rock instrumental tracks.
Yeah.
I have some that no one I've ever heard before. And I would like to keep it that way. So, but I was definitely influenced by that. But that definitely gave me the idea to go in a different route, like to not keep it the same as like strict rap and stuff like that. It allowed me to like say, hey, I can rap to this. And this is not even rap. Like I can rap to this pop song. I can rap to a country song. I can rap to an R&B song. It's not like I was learning that I can do it in different ways because I was experimenting with listening to so many like rock songs and like things like that. Like I said, Muse is like the big one. It's like anytime a Muse album came out, I was like, yes. Then I could listen to it and see like, can I rap on this? Like,
I love it.
Like it was like literally when I first started, it was more so that like, think about how a baby is, like they're a sponge. They're like literally absorbing everything that's around them. And I was listening to them so much, I was trying to like imitate them in so many ways.
I really love that you brought up like raw emotions and then bringing that out in your music when creating, because I think so many people, I always say fandoms are such like a big way to interact with people, but I really do think that music almost goes beyond that because music is so universal and it changes so many hands geographically that, I mean, you think about K-pop and how it has just so heavily influenced American culture and just even American like communities and ways that being able to express yourself through music is such a smart way of like educating people and helping people and really connecting with people. I mean, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but it took me a really long time to like fully understand music. And I really thought that music was just like something fun to listen to and didn't really listen and think about the lyrics. And once I really got into the mindset and the idea of like thinking about what is the artist saying and what is it that they're trying to express and convey and tell you, I think it just makes music that much more infinite and just that much more powerful and smart. And I think an artist that is able to like educate people as well as like help through experiences is such a smart way of establishing your career.
I say it is. And one thing is, one cool thing, I remember doing a report on this actually in like one of my classes, communication classes. It was about like the control. people's control over music. And it's surprisingly, I would say more so now, people are in control of their music. But I would say definitely in the past where like the radio, playing radios in a car was like the go-to for everyone. So like you didn't get a choice. You didn't get a choice of what music comes out and things like that. You didn't. And some people were okay with it. Most people were okay with that. And then we have people who had MP3 players or like they just had CD players or now all these like, platforms, whatever, like Pandora. Like Pandora is still similar in that in a radio sense, but I would say like Spotify and like iTunes, things like that. You are more in control over what you listen to, so you decide how you want to feel, how you like, what type of mood you want to put yourself in. So I think that's interesting because that plays a factor in a lot of things, whether it's balance, whether it's like exercising. Like you said, like helping your state of mind with like you said, just listening to like music with no lyrics.
It's crazy. Like,
it's powerful.
I think it's really smart that you brought up the way that music is, almost like given out to people. Because I had a really great professor named Brian Huff, who...
I remember him.
Yeah, he's great. But something very similar to what you were talking about, something he said was the way that music, like, infected, and, like, in a positive, quote-unquote, way to the world is something that almost no other entertainment-based medium can do. And I thought that was so interesting because you're absolute music is everywhere. It's in stores. It's in coffee shops. I remember going to what are they called? Like outlet malls, and they have music playing while you're walking around outside. Yep. And I mean, music is everywhere. And like, granted, you know, there's like Costco and Sam's Club and like Walmart that have televisions that'll be playing stuff, but they're secluded to a specific, you know, electronic section.
Exactly.
And it is crazy the way that music has continued to not only stay constant and relevant, but to thrive and expand. I mean, I remember coming home from like late middle school, early high school, like getting back to the dorms, and we would always have MTV on because they would play full music videos. And when they stopped playing music videos, it was like, why am I watching MTV anymore?
Exactly.
And I remember just being so upset that I was just like, this is how I expand my knowledge. Like, this is how I know about music. Like, this, what am I supposed to do? And so I think, oh, God. But beyond that, the opposite side of that, the control that some studios and like production agencies have on artists can be so scary, especially with so many artists being younger and younger now. There was this television show, and I think it was just like one or two seasons, called, what was it called? I think it was called like The Rap Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jermaine Dupri?
Yeah. And it was great exposure for the kids. I thought it was wonderful in that aspect. But like, when watching it, there was this aspect of like, these children that are like from the age of 9 to maybe 16 are being exposed to, and I hate to like think of it this way, but like Real Housewives type of standards of the aspect of like, there was drama that did not need to be there. That was just like, these kids are 9. That is not needed to be there. There was conversation between parents about the level of expectations of other children and like what they were saying in their music. And it was just like, that has nothing to do with you. Like, there's no reason for you to be commenting on that. And then, of course, because it's all televised, people at home now get to make judgments on this 9-year-old who's just trying to win a competition.
Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, it's going into, like, the TV realm, oh, man, that's a whole different ball game with that. Because, like you say, like, you can take an opportunity like that, like a rap competition for kids. You would think that's so adorable, that's so cool. And then like, but you know it's gonna be like the parents is gonna be egging it on, it's gonna be slicing things, and like they have to do that. I think the theory is that a lot of these producers are telling people to like create some type of buzz, because if it wasn't for that, then what, you know, like,
exactly. That's literally what it is. I don't know if you watched, oh fudge, what's it called? The newer like rap competition show. What's it called? It had like Cardi B and Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, that was on Netflix.
Yeah. But I thought that was a great way of exposing these unknown artists to, because there was no drama, from my understanding. There was no internal drama with any of the artists because they weren't there for that. It was about music, so leave it there. And I think it was just very well made. And maybe there was stuff behind the scenes or whatever, but it wasn't stuff that was like shown and aired. And I thought it was great. And I will say, I still listen to a great amount of those people that were on there in my car all the time. I follow 2 of them on Twitter. I'm on their Instagram. I'm hyping them up almost every day. But I think that that was such a great way of, and like of exposing a large amount of unknown people. And I think they did it in such a positive way. Rhythm and flow. We knew all along it's called rhythm and flow. We all knew.
Yeah, like you said, they just made like the, I guess, the competition, but also the objectives. They made that to be like the big thing. Cause like it is like, I think for me as an artist, I don't know if there's anyone else, but like the rap game and Rhythm and Flow, it was like, I was watching those shows just to see like if there's something that like I'm not doing or something that I am doing or something I can improve on and stuff like that. So shows like that is cool when they're not making it about like other things like the drama and stuff like that.
Because
I stopped, I think I watched like the first two seasons of the rap game because it was like, it was just, I thought it was creative and just like the opportunities they had and the people that were coming in there. But I think like seasons afterwards, I just thought it was kind of like
terrible,
repetitive in a way. So I just kind of like stopped that. But like when the Rhythm and Flow came, I was like, yeah, but I do have this thing though. I don't know what it's called, but like because only one person won and it just so happened to be that person that I liked the whole time that I knew was going to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like I knew D-Smoke, like it just like every time he did the competition, like he had everything, he was seasoned. I'm not gonna lie, like some people were like saying that he sounds and talks like Kendrick. So I think a lot of people would say that that was the reason why, you know, he was getting all the attention while he was winning. I was like, I don't know. I'd just say he still was talented. Like it wasn't like he would just like sounded horrible and just sounded like his
right.
Like, it was good. It was good. I just think everyone else, I don't know. I don't listen to anybody else in there because I was like, I don't know. It's like once I clicked on him and he sounded like someone that I already liked, that was like, yep, that's the guy. That's
okay. So since the start of you like writing music, producing kind of your own music, recording music, has your interest in music or more specifically, has your specific type of music that you used to listen to, has it changed in any way positively or negatively now?
I would say now, I guess like my influences aren't really the same anymore, I guess. Like it is, but then it isn't. Like the idea of what I started making music of based off of and stuff like that is still the same, but the people who I'm relying to for those emotions and those types aren't the same. I would say like as of like now, I don't really have any quote unquote like artists that I'm like looking up to, that I'm like following everything, making sure that I'm like doing things similar to them. It's just like, it's just literally just like a combination of just like random artists, which is a good thing. Cause I said about the whole controlling of music, it's like now I'm listening to like similar artists who could be someone similar to like Kendrick or someone similar to Kid Cudi or someone who's taking those rounds, like Pharrell, for instance, who are just doing a combination of everything. So like, I would say Anderson .Paak would be like a guy I would say if I had to pick a name. He's a guy who he's done songs with Kendrick, obviously, so that's why he got the green card for me. But like, obviously. He's like, he sings, he can also rap, and he plays the drums, and I think he plays like other instruments too. But like, he's so like, you know, like prolific. Like this dude can do it all, and like the sounds always sound good. So I would take something like that, and then like a band called The Internet. So like their music is one of their songs inspired me to make like an album dedicated to like a rock-ish type of like vibe, that spiritual vibe. Like I took like one of their songs, I was like, yo, this would be so cool to like try this out like in a rap state of mind. So then that was my influence. So like my influence nowadays is just like more so things that are different than the usual. So like my influences won't be like a typical rapper that's out right now. Like it's not, because I consider myself that rapper or like a rapper that's like in that position. So I don't look for other rappers in that way to influence me. I just go out somewhere else, a different genre. It don't even have to be honest, it don't even have to be like an actual like song. It don't have to be like anything music related. It could be like a movie or just like an idea that I'm thinking and I can like try to make this into a song or like make a topic about this in the song type of thing. Like that's where my head is at now with the direction I'm going. I'm like observing so many things. I'm like, yo, this would be cool if I can like do this in like a song. Like that's how I think now, like when I make music.
That sounds really cool. While you were talking, I was thinking the type of artist that you and I would see with work in college, it almost sounds like you would be one of those artists that would have been on campus with the cultural event series, specifically because something I noticed was Melanie was always looking for quote unquote, like obscure artists or not someone that was super conventional. I think there were maybe one or two times where we actually had performances that maybe I knew about or maybe had heard of, but a majority of them were completely new to me, had never known about. And it really sounds like I could definitely see you performing on campus as one of the like cultural event, like events. Cause I think that would be something that would be, totally be in the realm of that.
Definitely. I wouldn't say like the traditional, like CES, the formal ones where we had to wear like our red shirts. It would be like the, what's the other ones called? The ones we had to wear the purple shirts and stuff. I can't remember.
I don't know. I do remember those were a lot more lax.
Cause I remember some, I think it was one, if I'm not mistaken, it was one artist who was from, I guess, the DC area.
Yeah.
And like she had, they allowed her to have someone to perform before her, which was a college student at Frostburg that performed, that opened for her. So like, I would think something like that I would see, but like, I don't know. Like, I know it was one group that performed for CES, but it was like a Christmas group, but they affiliated themselves with like, I guess like Christian music. But
were
they
the ones that had a lot of like the electronics and the lights?
No, it wasn't them. It was just like, it was a group that was just singing like Christmas songs. I just can't remember like the names, but it was like, but they was affiliated with that, but obviously in the music, it wasn't like religious or anything like that. So like, I thought that for the cultural event series, like I figured they allow certain realms of music and stuff like that. Like, but I was like, I don't know. I never thought about it while I was there. Obviously I wasn't like that seasoned to even perform in that level. But I will say, because you brought that up now, I didn't think about possibly returning back and performing for CES, because they, you know, we have the connection, you know.
We got the hookup. We literally worked there.
Exactly. But that would literally probably be like the second reason why I would come back to perform. The other reason would be like for Berg Peer Education.
Oh yeah.
Because they had a event where like a motivational speaker was coming in, and I think that I will perform. I will probably. I think Don had asked me to perform for that one time. That, and I can't forget my group UCM. I can't forget them too. But definitely, I would go back for those circumstances. I wouldn't go back for any other circumstances, Jerry, because the crowds there are like interesting when I perform there. I've had the opportunity to perform at like places, local places in the area, like in Frostburg, but also like in Cumberland and like things like that, and like LaBelle. And like some of the experiences, it was just like, you just have to like laugh. You have to laugh because it's like, it's only so much you can do, because you're not like a professional artist. You don't have the professional equipment. You're just coming to a place to like.
Yeah.
Most of them were like were in churches, and like just like the demographic was like older, like older white people there. Yeah. I remember this one particular time. I was with my UCM group. We had went to this church, and before I started performing, one of my friends that said they heard someone behind him say, "Oh man, you got like another person rapping or something." So it was like something like that. Like they were saying that.
Oh.
But then it was like, but it was like after I performed, you know, I had so many people like, "Oh, that was so cool." You know, I didn't understand what you were saying, but I just know it was like. and then you have the moments where, you know, like because they're all in the older realm, you know, the ones who have like the hearing problems, they are sitting up front, and I couldn't raise the volume of the audio, I mean of the tracks and stuff like that, so I had to kind of perform a cappella pretty much, so it would kind of throw me off sometimes. And it was like, it was a lot of those random experiences that came in there, but it was all good experience. But it was just think something to laugh at now, but
yes, I adore older people because they try so hard to be positive about every situation. So like, I love the idea of just like, I didn't understand a word of what you said, but you did phenomenal.
Exactly.
Could you get any more precious?
It's like you had no choice but to accept that as a compliment. It's just,
yeah. Like, great, thanks, cool.
But I will say though, like, that's, I think I do take stuff like that and I try to apply it into like my music going forward. Like, that's why you, like, I think when I first started, like, I would do stuff like rap super fast, but then I realized, you know what, my articulation, like, with words are not the best. So why would I even try to rap fast on certain things if I know it's not going to sound right? So now I get into this realm. Now it's like I do a combination of like slowing down stuff so you can hear what I'm saying, and then sometimes I would just like rap fast just to people to know I can do that.
Show that you can.
Exactly.
I think that's so great. Do you think, or I guess more specifically, what am I trying to say? So I guess more specifically, what is your relationship with music been, or I guess from when you first started to now creatively and writing, how have you seen your music and your style and like your process, has it changed in any way? Do you think it's gotten better? Do you think that there are still aspects and room for you to grow in that?
So I would say definitely my love for music it definitely shifted, because when I first started, it was more so I was going through stuff and then I would rap about it and then I would just like let it go away or just like, you know, go in that realm. And I think now it's come to a point where it's like when I'm writing music for other people, you know, like I'm taking into a fact that I know there are people like on my social media or around me who are going through things and stuff like that. And then I take that as an opportunity to write about that. So when I'm writing, when I'm like kind of like going in a story mode, and when I'm kind of like going in a realm of just like drifting the mind off somewhere else, I go in those directions where people are commonly going into. And then like, kind of like if you think about like a superhero, or you think about just like a movie where there's always a plot, but then there's always like a solution, and then it goes off. So I think about that when I hear other people and their problems, and I also take the stuff that we have that's happening right now and like in the world, and just the cause and effects of everything. I just kind of take it all in, and I use that as my like motivation to write, and that's where it's coming from more so than my personal well-being or what I'm going through. I will say I do. Now when I, like, if I'm feeling some type of way, like if I'm feeling down myself, I take that energy and I apply it again. I apply it just to what other people are going through, because I would want them to go to the music when they're going through something. So when I first started rapping, it was like if I was going through something, I would just talk about that and then be done. But now it's like if I'm feeling some type of way now, I take what I'm already viewing or observing from the world and put it up all together into a song with a message that could draw people to the right direction. Yep. So I'll say that's definitely where my head is at with music now. The process of it in terms of how I do music, obviously that has changed, but it's also, it's become easy for me because now that I make my own music, you know, I make my own beats, everything, things like that. It's become more of a, like I have more freedom. It's like if I want to make it sound super duper like rappy, if I want to try to like make it slower or something in between when I have someone talking in it, or like some type of dialogue going on, I do have that feature where it's like I have like a deeper voice in my songs and like all these other things, all these different voices and things like that. Like I try to do like a combination of things to give people like just to open their minds, just to venture off into like something that draw them away from what they're going through. So now I would say that's my process now, and I say it's easier now than it was in the past.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, like, throughout time, you've been able to figure out, like, what works for you. And I think that's so important, I guess, in like any aspect of life, to figure out, you know, what is it that works for you that you are able to do well and do that. And if it doesn't work for someone else, they'll figure out their way. And that's perfectly fine. So I love it. I love hearing that you've been able to kind of, I don't want to say like relieve yourself, but in an aspect, allowing yourself to not maybe feel so pressured and stressed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I do want to talk a little bit more about your career specifically. Okay. I guess the most important thing that I think should be talked about is, how did you come up with your name? And when did you start expressing that to people and telling people, like, this is the name for the artwork that I do? Or like, you know, this is how I would like to be referred to mm-hmm. when performing, when talking about it. How did you go through that?
Well, I started with just my name, my first name first, when I first started. When I had those two videos going out, and then like, I guess, like maybe a handful of songs from the app, I had just like my first name and that was it. And then I was like, you know what would be cool? If I use like my initials of my name. So it was like AMG, and that was going.
Oh.
That was going for a good couple months. And then I think it may have been less than that. It may have been less. But I had a family member on Facebook one day was send me a link, and he was saying like, oh, you know, there's a group that's already called that name. I was like, really? And I searched the group, and I was like, okay, this is like, I mean, I think I was at that time where I was like, so like my music is better type of thing. So then, you know what I did? I decided to like make a song. I found myself trying to make a song dissing them, saying, oh, you know, like, I'm keeping my name.
Oh, my God.
But I did that. So I did that. And then I realized there was another guy who went by that same initials. And then, not to mention, there's a car that's in that.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe this name is not for me. You know, it's not for me. So I just moved on.
Do you have that recording?
I do. I think I do. Because I have an Android, I was able to store a lot of my old songs. Ooh. So I do have them. I would just never release them.
Got it.
I have to go back and see. I know the exact instrumental I did. It was like a Tyler, the Creator instrumental I did. And I rapped over it. I had a lot of fun times that no one really get the experience.
No one will ever see.
Because, like, I'm just trying to say, if I release some of this old stuff, like, I think it could in some way go viral. I think it would just ruin my music now.
Oh, no!
Like, it's not, like, bad in terms of, it's not, like, that bad. That's just how I view it. I view it, like, it's that bad because of how I do music now. But, like,
I understand.
I know that because I remember when I went to Indiana to perform a concert, and like I was hanging out with my friends and my wife, and she told them about one of my old songs, super old songs, and it was this one line that she said that she remembers from the song. It was like, I had 99 problems and they all women. Something like that. It was something random like that that she remembers. And so it's like, I just feel like it's going to be a lot of those gems in a lot of my songs that someone's going to quote, like, oh, remember you said this? Remember you said that? Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I'm going to remember that every time I see you.
Oh, my God.
So I just try to save myself from that embarrassment. I just keep it all in. I will listen to the music every once in a while to see what I was talking about then, but I keep it to myself. But nonetheless, I stopped that name. I was done with it. And then I was like, you know what? How about I try to be creative. So it was an old group. It's my favorite group of all time, called A Tribe Called Quest. And it's a rap group. They're so awesome. I was like, you know what? I like their like vibe. Like, and they had like these albums where they were like wearing like all these weird clothing and stuff like that. I was like, you know, I'm going to name myself I'm gonna name myself Native Lyrics. I don't know where, I don't know why, like why I decided it. It was just something like a random. I was like, it'd be cool to go by that. But that only lasts for like a couple weeks, I think. Because I only had like one or two songs that was under that name. So then I was like, okay, so what else? Like, what else am I going to go to? Then I came across this group who I used to listen to called Floetry. And this group is a it's an R&B group, Marsha M. I can't pronounce the last name.
I've heard of them. Marsha.
They have awesome songs. And I was like, I love their vibe. I love like that's the soul in their mm-hmm. music. And so one of the albums was called Floetic. Oh! So I was like, okay, what if I did Floetic Dre? Ooh. Now when I came out with the name, I didn't have like, it wasn't clear as to why I decided to go about it in terms of like what direction I was going to go into music.
Okay.
But what I will say is I think it was a God thing, because when I chose, like now when I chose the thing about now, my music, I tried to keep it in that realm of like some soul and like some like Ooh. R&B feels into it and things like that. Because I think truly that's where I would love to stay at if I had to pick a genre to mm-hmm. stay in. I would stay in something like that where it's like smooth and it's like kind of like slow paced. If it was my idea, I would keep it there. I'm not great at singing and stuff like that, but like I would love to keep it in that realm. And like now looking back, I'm like, well, I guess that was a God thing, because I chose that based off of that. And it's like now I'm somewhere going into that realm, or just like in a vibeful realm of just yeah. like soulful realm. So like, it just stuck with me like ever since then. And then I had people who would say, you know, you can't have that name. And then like your raps are not like that, or not up to par, you know, things like that. So I was like,
me?
No, but it wasn't, I didn't take it as like okay. anything like that, because
okay.
they were right. You know, like I shouldn't say like Floetic Dre or Floetic when I don't have much flow and like when I'm rapping type of thing. So that's when I kind of listening to new artists, the combination of old artists, and seeing how their flows are. Mm-hmm. And so now when I rap, it's like I have freedom. Like I said, it's like I'm not trying to like rap like this person. I want to take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and like make it into like my own thing.
Yeah.
So, like you might find, again, like I said, you might find me rapping fast and like an upbeat type of thing. I even had like a song where I was trying to venture out in like in a trap type of like song, I guess, like in my last album. So it's like, I'm just trying to show, at this point, it's like, I'm showing off in terms of like some of the flows I can do. I can go in this realm if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I can go in this realm if I wanted to. So it's like I'm giving them a combination of everything. So it's like an element type of thing. So
yeah,
definitely that's that. I'm definitely sticking to the name, and I'm definitely like, you know, making it a good name, like something positive out of it, because of the flows and the realms that I go into are different. So
I personally really like the name. Not only, I can't even say not only, but I really like the name because when I hear the name, when I read the name, when I see it, it just sounds very relaxed. And when I think about you and when I talk about you to people, my instinct always is just he's a very like relaxed, very calm individual who, from what I've noticed, who doesn't really get ruffled very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so when I learned that that was the name that you had stamped kind of on your music career, I thought it was just so smart, because I mean, and I will say it took me a while to understand, not understand, but to like fully connect like, oh, Floetic music style. I first and foremost, Floetic took it as the way that you are. Mm-hmm. And just how very calm and very easygoing and really like go with the flow type of an aspect. So that's how I really interpret the name. And when I, so you guys might not know, but I interacted with a bunch of my friends from all over the different areas that I've lived in and asked them to, you know, listen to some of Andre's music, give me their thoughts, and just at least listen to a minimum of two of his songs. But a big thing that a good amount of them talked to me about was the way that he talks, he sounds very relaxed when he is in the moment, which I think is just so good. And I think that's really great as an artist to, while recording, giving off almost that essence of just like calm and like even like happy about what you're doing.
Like, yeah, I had one, like, I definitely had like interesting comments when it came to just like, when it comes down to just like my voice in general, like when it, when it's in songs, like I was told once when I was like, when I first started, it was like, oh man, like the way your voice sounds, like I can like go to sleep to the music. I was when I first heard it, I was like,
it's not what I'm going for.
It was like weird. Cause again, it was like, when I was like younger, it was like, I had like, I was one of those people who was like, would talk super low. So you can never understand what I'm saying. And sometimes I do that now, depending on the circumstances, if I'm like tired or whatever. But right. As you know, like I'm not always like that way. I'm like kind of like energetic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But people get surprised like when they hear my music now, like, wait, this is you?
That's literally how I felt when I stumbled across your music and I was like, hold up.
That's like the number one thing I get from a lot of people who don't know that I rap, like especially at my job, because like again, I have moments where it's like certain jobs, like I'm energetic. There's some jobs where I'm like in between, where it's like I tell jokes and I do all these things, and it's like when they hear the music, they was like,
"Yep,
you like you." Like there's a song. I'm not sure if you heard the song, but there's a song that's called "I Wanna." And it's like, I want to jump on the table. Like, it was like one of those things. And I was like, it was a super hype song. I had so much fun doing it. I was like so energetic. Poetic.
Dre. I want to jump on the table and lose it. Thank everybody that think I'm a loser. Thank everybody that think I ain't worth it. I'd rather talk about God and my music.
And like, I had people listen to the song. That was like, this is you. I never seen you this riled up. Like, this is crazy.
I'm really glad you brought up that song, because that song is fucking amazing. I need you guys to go and listen to it. He's on Spotify. Just look up Floetic Dre. That song is such a hype song. There have been days that I'm just in my car and I'm like blasting it. And I'm
That's just like, all right,
I'm ready. Let's go. Ready to kill this day.
That's the one song, that's one of the songs where it's like, I gotta blast it in my car. It's like, it's just, I wanted to do a music video for it so bad. And I might do one. Like, I'm like, that's the cool thing about me. It's like, that makes me different from like a big artist. It's like big artists, sometimes they only make music. They only make music videos for the relevant song. Like that's recently released.
Now this is one additional thing. Cause I was thinking about this earlier. Cause like, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm critiquing it. I'm just sharing my opinion on music videos and stuff like that. And I'm sitting here forgetting that I actually try to do music videos myself.
Yes, you do.
And so I understand, like, when I see stuff now, like, the type of music videos that are out now, like, just even the simple ones, like, I can see why there's a simple one. Like, it's, like, for me, I think I have a small, I wouldn't say controversial, but like I have like a video where what I thought it was supposed to be is not what it turned out to be.
Oh,
I don't share it that much, which is funny because it's really a laughable moment right now. But like, the song is called Lord Knows. And, basically my envision with that, I didn't want to be in camera. I wanted to be recording. You know, because I want it to be about someone else. Again, I was trying to do a storytelling thing, right?
Right.
So I had a guy who was in the woods. He was a black guy in the woods. And he was lost. Like, he was trying to figure out where he's going. That's pretty much, like, the gist of it. He's trying to figure out where he's going.
Okay.
And the lyrics kind of help get the idea with different examples that you're lost or that you were lost or something like that. Anyways. Right. I thought it was so cool because I did this cool effect where he finds this like Bible, like in the woods, like some type of like adventure. He finds it, he opens, he lifts it up, the camera zooms in, zooms out, and then you see two people beside him. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I was like, but my intentions was like, okay, these two guys are going to help him out the woods and let him go, you know, and find his new way, whatever, right? Here's where it got interesting. Okay, first things first, I thought it was a good idea to be white and black, so it wasn't color. That's number one. Two, the two guys, they both were white. Now I'm good friends with all three of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't think nothing of it. So, but they both volunteered to be in the video. So I was like, all right, so you guys are going to pop up beside him. You guys want to help lead him out the woods. So once he gets out the woods, that's when the color gets on. The color gets onto the screen now. And then I changed the song to I Just Want to Be Free. Now, he's walking free. He tried to pull it. I think he tried to unbutton his shirt. And you can see that it says free. We got the shirt from, I think we got the shirt from Planet Fitness.
Okay.
So it says free. So he's just walking. He's walking throughout the street. And he's going. And I was like, okay, this will be cool because I'm going to put the camera up. And I'm going to have a verse that's going to talk about free. And surely did it have something about slave. It says slave on there, on the verse. So I'm like, this is so cool. I'm editing this. This is going to be great. This is a good story, whatever. I'm watching it as I export it and I upload it to YouTube. I'm like, yo, this looks like an old film of like a slave running from the
home. Sure does.
Now, I think I still have the video uploaded on there. I think I still have it on there. So I would encourage y'all to
go and check it out. Like, and let them know what you think.
I might have it on there. If I don't, then I have the video somewhere on my Google Drive that I can send to you. But I'm not ashamed. Like, I'm not ashamed because there was a moment like you made those mistakes. Like,
yeah.
It's not anything wrong with the song. It's just what I thought was supposed to be in there was not what was interpreted. But any videos that I have, like that I've tried to do, it's always a story to it. It's not the best in terms of it because I don't have everything, the equipment and stuff like that. But you can kind of get the feel of, you know, what I was going for, whatever. But that's just to say, again, if anyone wants to clown me and think I'm wrong with my stuff, just listen, just watch my videos. You can laugh at mine. It's fine. Like, I'm saying myself, I made the mistakes and like, they're not the best, you know, but like, that still kind of probably ruins someone listening to the song too. So I get it, you know, like I can say it too, I'm a part of it too, but it's still reality. Like sometimes music videos help. Sometimes you have to watch the music video. In this case, sometimes you don't watch the music video. You just watch it. Just listen to the song, you know, and just get your own vision from it and maybe it might help you.
There you go.
But I started talking with some of my friends now and like random people who just decided to want to help me do a music video.
Yeah.
So I might just one day say, hey, we can do something like this and like go crazy and like, you know. So I have ideas for music, current music videos, but I always have ideas for old music videos. I just have to get the right people.
That's great.
The right vibe and just be going for it.
I love it. I think that's so awesome. Oh, that makes me so happy for you. When talking about starting your own career and your own brand, when did you know that you wanted to create almost a separation between Andre Glenn, the person, and Floetic Drake, the music artist? And when did you know, I guess just that, like, when did you know that there was like a separation between the two?
I'll definitely say, around that time when, like I said earlier, when I was working in Kentucky, like the whole summer,
mm-hmm.
that was when I was like really starting to like figure out like what direction I was going to go into in music. And like, I had that figured out. And then I had a guy who, one of my close friends when I was there, he decided to like randomly in spare time, like, hey, I want to, do a music video for you. I was like, what? Like, really?
Oh.
And I think, to this day, I think that was like the most professional music video that I have out. There's some things with the music video though, because there was some lip syncing errors that wasn't syncing, and I couldn't like help him figure it out because I was working at camp, so I couldn't spend all that time with him. I just trusted him. But like, he came out with the idea, and like I said, the video was like so fun. It was like, it was that, and while I was doing a music video, or when we was in the process of like editing the video, I came up with the idea of like, making a Facebook page, like that separates my page from my music, and it was
okay.
music. And so I sat down, it didn't take long to create it. And then that was my first post, was about working on the music video for that song. But I think ever since then, it was like I had this page and then I had my own page.
Yeah.
And then it's sprinkled down to like Twitter and like YouTube and like and Instagram later on. And so now it's, well, Instagram, I just have that page, like my Florida Drake page on Instagram. And so I try to keep it still with music.
Mm-hmm.
I would comment on people's stuff and I would like share people's stuff. It was like cool, whatever. But like in terms of the content that I was like posting, I try to keep it like music based. But my Facebook page, my regular Facebook page, it was just like that would be my regular page. And then like my Facebook music page would be like different. So I had like all these different pages. I have that stuff now. I'm still trying to figure out like,
yeah,
where direction I'm going to like stick with. And then like just really put like a lot of emphasis on it. But Instagram came out to be like the most consistent, that a lot of people are going into, like younger crowds, the older crowds, mm-hmm. they're all sprinkling into Instagram. So I think, like I said, when I was at camp around that time, that's when I decided to just separate it so that it can be like that. When I started to figure out where I wanted to go with music and like just, you know, just the idea of it, I just thought it'd be cool. Cause I see everyone else have their own different pages. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time to like just go ahead and go on that run.
That was a start of it.
But in terms of like clothing or anything else besides like that, expanded from that, those ideas I was thinking about for like years. But I think as of like last year and maybe like the year before, some of the year before, that's when I started putting it together, like making a logo. Like that's when I started getting serious. I was like, hey, maybe I should create a logo. And my music manager, like, it was funny because like I was giving him so many like options that I can do with my name. And he kind of was like, you know what? That one sucks. That one, getting there. That one, you could do better. This is the one.
Oh my God. My heart.
So that one sucks.
Don't do it.
So I took that one, and then that's, I think that's what was the finishing touches on making it like an actual like brand, or making it like a professional thing. It's like you see, he got a logo now. Like he don't just got a name, he got a logo, and then he got his music on like
Spotify, out here, real professional.
Like
what?
Like this ain't on SoundCloud. This is not
SoundCloud. No.
That was the main thing. I think that was the next step, was like, okay, I need to see how I can get my music on the places that you hear everyone else's music.
Yeah.
And that's like when I had my first album, which I've kind of somewhat regret some of it, but it's still out there. But
regret some of the music choices.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say Maybe more so just the production of it. The production of it.
Oh, okay.
The graphics behind it. It wasn't all like professional based, because it was more so, I like to say that was the experimental project.
Okay.
It was the first project that I was releasing on a platform, and it was like the first thing that was like under my belt in terms of like a project.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what motivates me to keep it up on those platforms because of that, and because there's some hidden gems, you know, in some of the songs that I hear I got people that would message me and say like, oh, this song from that old album, like I still listen to that, like that makes me want to keep it and makes me feel like proud. But then I know in the back of my head, when I was making the project, I was like, I was just like learning so much. I was like, oh, this is so cool, I can put this here, put that there, and do this and do that. I was like, oh, you know, it'd be cool if I could get people talking in there. Like that's when I started with all these ideas. It didn't, they all didn't connect, but it was like, it was cool at the same time for me. I would say like, that was the experimental album. If I had to rename it, that would be the name.
That's hilarious. Cause that sounds like the very first video production project I ever worked on. I tried to put everything in there. I was like, ooh, we're going to use all these effects. We're going to make all these voices just modulated and sound just a little different, but only for maybe 10 seconds. Oh, God. Okay, so do you have any long-term or maybe even short-term goals for your music, your brand, or your company, or your creative style that you are looking forward to?
Yeah, I will say right now what I'm currently trying to do is to start with like the clothing and things like that. So I'm trying to take like certain songs where it's like there's like a general phrase mm-hmm. that I probably said on the song or like a concept, whatever. And I would try to make that into like kind of like in clothing so that, you know, okay. like people usually wear like certain things that, you know, they relate to and things like that. Some could be funny. Some could be serious. Some could be all in between.
Yeah.
So I'm currently still testing certain things out. I just haven't like promoted it yet. I just recently promoted. Yeah. My new
yes!
logo for like the album. I did promote that, but like, I promoted that, but
I'm obsessed with that. I think it looks so cool. His stuff is on Redbubble. I need you guys right. to go on there. I want one of the stickers for my water bottle because it looks so cool. Sorry, go on.
So, I got you. But like, I took like, so there's a song from that Spiritual Groove album. It's called Where Your Faith At. Do you run to? Who do you run to? Who you gonna go to? Who you gonna go to? Who do you run to? Who do you run to? Who you gonna go to? Yeah. So tell me where your faith at. Tell me where your faith at. So tell me where your faith at. Tell me where your faith at. Huh? I know you need God in your life. You know you need God in your life. Yeah. And like that was probably like the top song that like Camp Kids love. And like that, everyone always rubbed my face like, oh, they sing the song when I come around. Like, oh, tell me where your faith at. Like, sometimes it was annoying. Sometimes it was like, okay, I see that's their favorite song. And my grandmother loved the song too. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to take the phrase and like kind of create like a graphic behind it. Ooh. And then like make it into like some merchandise. So I did test it out on a mask. And my grandmother had bought the mask. And she said it feels good. Like, it looks good on her. So like, she's going to like, buy more. When I told her that it's not just on masks, like you can get like other stuff like with yeah. it, like a shirt or some other stuff. She was like, oh man, like she's so excited about it. And so like I haven't took professional pictures of her with it yet. And I just got my stuff a couple of days ago. So I'm just getting the feel for it. And I'm also this is something new and also it's gonna take me to a new level. But like I think I was telling you that like I became an ambassador for a clothing brand. So
yep.
once I get that stuff in, then I can start kind of like promoting that as well, like on my website. But I think my goal is to take catchphrases or just to take stuff, even things that I say, like my favorite word is phenomenal. Like a lot of people at my job now and like some of my friends, they know that that's my favorite word whenever,
yeah.
like it doesn't matter whether I am feeling phenomenal or not.
Right.
I always say like, phenomenal. Like I just feel phenomenal. Like I say it because I know that's my expectations. Like I know that's where I want to go. So like I have like I think what I'm doing now, like I know this is kind of similar to like I guess short term, but it could deem as long term. But like mm-hmm. we were talking about this last time, but like just the whole part of me including more features and things like that. Like
yeah.
that whole dynamic, like and the crazy thing is like I'm not looking for people who are like bona fide like singers already who are like right. having their own artists. Like I'm going for people who don't even want to be artists, who can sing and they love to sing and they want to venture out and things like that. Like I'm finding people like that. I am finding some people who are artists who just started and things like that, but I like to find people who are not artists that can sing. A lot of people from this album are people who are not artists. They don't have any profile, they don't have anything like that, but they have the talent and the skills
yeah.
just like anyone else do. So I want to express that or, you know, showcase it to the world. So I mean, I would like to do more of that, definitely, just to, 'cause I know there are people now who are sending me stuff saying like, oh man, I would love to like create a project or create something, aww. You know, things like that. And that's kind of cool because for a couple of years now, like that was my main goal, is to have features. I didn't know how it was gonna work. I didn't know what it was gonna do. Like, I knew I wanted to do it. I just didn't know how and when or what it was gonna look like. And it's like, now I'm like kind of like overwhelmed because I have so many of artists who are agreeing to do stuff with me. It's like, now I gotta like make sure I'm creating something that can flow into what they do and how they sing and how they go about stuff and, you know, make it into a song. So that's my, I guess what I'm working on now is to create music for other people and to match with their level is and things like that, like their flow. That's what I've been working on now. I have my ups and downs with that because I still don't have all of the equipment that I need.
Right.
But I still make work with what I have. So I will be seeing a lot of songs coming out next with artists, new artists and like random stuff like that. You will be seeing that soon.
I think something we haven't talked about yet, which might be like that looming presence, is the style or the type of music that you create. So I guess, how would you describe your music? Or is there a specific genre, a specific tempo, a specific style, or even influence that you think resembles your style and type of music?
I would say, I think what I was saying like last time is that I'm more so of a emotion-based I'm trying to say emotional. I was like, what do people hear that? I'm like, oh man, he's gonna complain about everything. No, I would say just
music is emotional.
Yeah, I mean,
it's perfectly fine. I think it's better if you are expressing your emotions through music. I think it's so powerful. And if you listen to his music, it's very clear that, at least for me, it's very clear that he really thinks about the lyrics and he's thinking about what it is that he wants to say and how he wants to present it. And I think that, for me, we all know that I am not a very religious person. We all know that I'm just not someone who entertains the idea of religion for myself personally. Mm-hmm. Although Andre's music is, I would classify it as a very watered down Christian rap. It's so much more than the Christian aspect of it. I think there are a lot of influences, and I think that there are a lot of aspects of God and religion in it, but it's, to me, it's not the main focus of his music.
Yeah, I would say, it's like interesting because like I was having this conversation with my brother, I think Sunday, this past Sunday, and like, he was just saying like, oh man, I remember like back in those days when you were like recording in the shed and it was like all this stuff. And he was saying like, aww, you know, like he was saying like he doesn't consider my music to be gospel rap or anything like that. He was saying it's more so like faith based or like in that realm. And so like when I heard it, I was like, I don't know whether I should feel like offended or I should feel like praised. Like I do know that my direction in music has like shifted in terms of like, people don't know, but like my goal for like the music, I wanted to always be like considered in the Christian realm.
Okay.
But I wanted to take secular sounds and like just the vibes of it and things like that and incorporate it into the realm of like Christian so that when you hear it, you're not just hearing, read the scripture. You are bad. You are a sinner. Because if you think about it, like, you can apply this to religion, like, to being a Christian. And, like, for someone as a Christian, their job is to evangelize. And, like, to some people who aren't Christians, they may see it as, these people think they're better than me. And, like, they think all these things. And, like, and that is true. People do that. And, like, especially in churches. And so, like, why would I, like, I know I'm not that type of person. Like, you obviously know. You've been around.
Yeah.
Me. I'm not that type of person. I'm accepting of any and all. You know, I still love everyone. So in my music, I was like, well, I'm not going to just do the same thing in music. Like, oh no, you need to read these scriptures. You need to do these things. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if I do feel like it fits, like if God is telling me to put this in the song, like if I do feel like it fits, then I will place it in a song, but it won't be like, if you're not reading these scriptures, you are going
like, you are going to hell.
Like, I'm not going to do all these things. What I like to do is I like to be realistic and be relatable, because at the end of the day, everyone have problems. Everyone are going through things. Nobody's perfect, you know? And so yeah. I try to highlight that in music. So when I'm sharing these problems in songs, when I'm sharing like a scenario and problems, like some people, like, I don't know how people think about it, but I know I'm thinking that someone could think that I'm talking about just that one person. I'm actually not. What I do is sometimes my direction in the lyrics, it's like I'm talking to that person, but it's really mm-hmm. focusing on me. I said this in an interview before, that like the songs are, most songs that I do are focusing on me and like what I'm doing wrong and stuff, right? Like that. So that when I hear it in the future, I'm knowing, okay, if I'm doing something stupid, let me listen to the song so I know it's talking to me about it. And so I'm hoping that that's reflecting to someone else who could be going through the same thing. So that's my realm of things. And so I accept that it's not considered gospel rap.
Yeah.
Like I do accept it in that light, because I'm not sitting here trying to like throw every scripture to everyone and like do all these things, because I do it in a more of a relatable way. Like, okay, we're doing this. We're going through this. I see you're doing this. I see that you're doing this. And it's like, I see why you're doing it, you know, but here's this way. Let's try this way. Let's try this. Let's try this, whatever. Like, I try to go in those type of realms, again, like a story, like a movie or something like that, where there's a problem that comes that starts to grow. And then there's a downfall, you know, and then there's a response. There's like a solution. So that's the goal. That's the goal. Every time I make music now, it's like, I'm always like in an album mindset when I make songs. I don't like that sometimes, because I just want to make a single and just let it be like that song. But it's hard because like I just be making a song and just be vibing out to it. I'm like, yo, this is so cool. But it's like, I can't really picture this as a single, because I feel like it could go to something bigger than the single. So that's why it's hard for me to just instantly release singles after singles, because I could do that all day long. I have so many songs that I haven't released that it's like it's catchy and things like that, but it's like my head is like, no, if I'm gonna make this song, it gotta be a part of something bigger.
What are some fandoms that you would recommend to friends, to our listeners, to me?
Well, I would say if they're not hooked on to anything Spider-Man related, I would say that they need to.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would say Flash, the show on CW. So if you're not hooked on that show,
it's on Netflix. Just watch it.
Yes. It's one of those shows where it's like, it's more to it than just him just Flash.
Yeah, you
know, just the stories in there are like it's crazy. It's like, it's relatable in so many ways. So definitely the Flash, definitely Spider-Man, like the movies, the shows. However, I do need to go back and watch some of the old shows.
Yes,
they're amazing. So Spider-Man, definitely the Flash.
So where can our listeners find you, Andre Glenn, as well as Floetic Dre? Where can they find your music? How can they interact with you?
Okay, so for starters, I would not recommend trying to find me on like MySpace or like MySpace. Like, don't look over there. Don't look at, don't go on SoundCloud either. I mean, you might see old stuff, but I'm not really there. I'm not there at all, actually. Facebook, I mean, you could find me there, because I have like one of my jobs, I'm using like their Facebook page and stuff like that. So I'm technically still on my Facebook page. So if you were trying to get a hold of me, that would probably be a good place. Facebook, do my page, which is just Floetic Dre. If you go on my music page, it's Floetic Dre Music. I might respond on there because it's going to sync to my phone, but my original Facebook page is probably the best in that scenario if you're still in an old-fashioned Facebook. Twitter, questionable. I have a Twitter. I somewhat post stuff on this every once in a while. But I do look at it like maybe once a week, maybe. So if you were looking to respond to me on Twitter, don't be surprised if I don't respond to like next week or so, because I don't get the emails and stuff if someone sends them to me. But I might check it once a week. So don't really go on that one. Instagram is probably the best bet. My Instagram, which is just Floetic Dre. You just go on there. You can message me on there, or you can just follow me. I try to have content once a week on there. Try to. If I don't have the content, then I always have stories on there. So I'm on there. So that's the top place you can go to find me. YouTube, like I said, I love YouTube. I love YouTube so much. But YouTube, I think, is broken in terms of the, if you're trying to get a hold of someone, like through the messaging, or if you comment on something, I might see the comment. Like, I don't have many comments at all, but the post, I rarely get notifications for it. So if you were to post something, I won't really know until I decided to go and check out one of my videos and say, oh, let me see if someone like commented on one of my videos. Like, so don't go in there thinking you're going to get an instant response. Even though I don't have comments on it a lot, it's just, I don't get the notifications a lot. So I don't look at my comments. I just look at other videos, not my videos sometimes. So Instagram is the top. If you go on Instagram, like I said, which is Floetic Dre, under my, I guess my bio, my link, I created like this cool thing where all of my best places to find my stuff at, like music or merchandise, other stuff like that, like you will find it all there with the click of a button. So if you were trying to find anything related to what I'm doing, just check that link on Instagram and you shall find it.
Perfect. You can find Floetic Dre's music, all of his music, on Spotify, just right through Floetic Dre. Highly recommend checking it out. Beyond that, we want to thank, or I personally want to thank you, Andre, as a friend and a coworker and a wonderful human being, for being on my podcast. It has been such a joy to get the opportunity to interact with you again. I feel like we haven't seen each other in so long. And it feels like every time we talk, it feels like I literally just saw you yesterday.
I know. Definitely, thank you for having me on. Like I said, I'm definitely grateful for the experience. And like, I know your podcast is going to be phenomenal. Regardless of whether I was on it or not, it was destined to be that way. So thank you for having me on it. It's an honor.
Thank you all so much for listening to my very first podcast. Let's Talk Fandoms is produced by Tazita Gant, created by Tazita Gant, edited by Tazita Gant, hosted by Tazita Gant, cover art done by Psych Arelic on Instagram, intro music done by Riri Retro, also on Instagram. You can find all of their links in the description of this podcast on each episode. Remember to keep talking fandoms with us, along with everyone else you know. You can find Let's Talk Fandoms Podcast on Instagram and Fandoms Podcast on Twitter. We would love to hear your feedback by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and any other place you are able.
Love is so complicated, love is so highly needed, love is so underrated, love is the greatest power, love is the way of living, love is the way of passage, love can be misconstrued, love can be self-confusing, love protects the heart, love protects the soul, love the one who hates you,
amazing,
Judas betrayed the Messiah,
yeah.
And Jesus still love everybody,
yeah.
So we all got a perfect example,
exactly.
But love get a terrible rap, when you punish,
yeah.
For hating a brother, for killing your brother, love can be sacrificing, love can be controversial, but love can me universal. Love is the way of marriage. Love can be uplifting. Love can be motivated. Love can be heartbreaking. When life hits you, when love is hard, when love is God, and the love of Christ is a sign above.
Show me the sign. Show me the sign, Lord. Show me the sign. Please, show me the sign, Lord. Show me the sign. Show me the sign, Lord. Please, show me the sign.
Yeah.
Show me the sign.
God is the reason we breathe. God is the one I believe. God is good. Yeah. God is the reason we see everything. God is the reason we gotta keep growing. God is a cure for the pain that was given. God is the reason we have everything. We are the reason we lose everything. So just give it to God and don't blame everybody.
Job was a perfect example.
Faith in our God is a better description.
Yeah.
God is so eager to listen. God is the reason I'm rapping. Gotta be. God is the one with the wisdom inside of me. When I'm surrounded by struggles, I made it through. To share with you.
Share with you.
Get us through. Look. God is the reason I'm different. My Christ is the only version of the gospel. God is the only reason I ain't losing. God has protected me. God is empowering. God is forgiving.
God is forgiving.
God is almighty.
God is almighty.
He get to shine. I am his servant. I am excited. He showed me a sign.
He showed me the sign. He showed me the sign. He gave me the sign. He showed me the way. Give me the cue, so I'm ready to shine.
I put that on everything. God is my everything. God is a king.
God is a king.
He gave me the power to help anybody who cross on my way.
Cross on my way.
God is the way.
God is the way.
So I am okay.
I am okay.
My three's in the sky. My papers in God. If you living for God, put your hands in the sky. Go show him your sign.
Show him your sign.
Three's in the sky.
Three's in the sky.
My hands in the sky.